Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
And you're also a danger to yourself.
How so?
Well, when we were cleaning, you whacked your wrist on that thing and needed a Band-Aid.
Plastic isn't supposed to slice you.
And I don't really trust you around, like, ovens. You always seem to burn yourself on the oven. Just giving me dirty looks right now.
I don't trust you around things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a danger to myself, too, so I really can't give you too much shit, but...
I was just trying to get the sticky stuff off the thing. Plastic's not supposed to cut you.
No. The deep cleaning is real, dude. Sometimes you got to do it, and we have been in that mode, and wow.
You still can't tell?
I feel like we've made really good progress. It's just, you know, there's just a lot to be done. Oh,
if you feel like we've made progress, then you can tell. Never mind.
I can tell. The downstairs looks good. It's the upstairs is going to take a little bit more time.
Then I retract my statement.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, where are we going this week, boo?
Oh, one of our good friends.
I know we're doing Crane Brewing, but I always forget where they're from.
they're from Raytown, Missouri.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, this case actually took place in Independence, Missouri, which is in that area.
In that general vicinity.
Actually, when I say this case, I mean these cases.
These cases. It's a plural cases
thing.
Fair enough. Well, and I will say this. So we generally try, like, if we're going to do the same, you know, brewery or, you know, do
distillery, winery.
Yeah, we try not to do the same area over and over again. But we did actually record one right before this. And we're like, oh, this is going to have to be a bonus episode.
Yeah, it's a little short.
Yeah.
It's so a little short.
But yeah, but to that point. Happy Thanksgiving.
Here we are again. Here we are. For you again.
That's right. And guess what? You get a bonus episode this week again, too. So, sweet. More of us.
We just haven't figured out which one's the bonus. Once we're done recording this, we will know.
That's true. So, if this is the second one, then we failed twice. And you get two short episodes.
I was about to say, and then you just got two on the same day.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so, but we're excited to do some more Crane Brewing. I love the beer, so.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
These. They have one. We're not going to start with it, but they do have one that's a corn ale. Or, I'm sorry, it's a corn lager. I don't think I've ever had a corn lager, so I'm interested to try that one. But I think we're actually going to start off with the Conceptual Evenings. Now, this is a Czech Pils with Saaz. I think I'm saying that's correctly. It's S-A-A-Z and Talus, T-A-L-U-S.
Sounds good to me.
Yep, so it's... This is also 5% ABV, so I'm looking forward to trying this one. You ready to do it?
I am, and I actually did have it searched up, and then it went away.
Why you do that?
Why did the app that shall not be named do that? Okay, tell me the name one more time. Perpetual?
Conceptual Evenings.
Oh, that would explain why.
And it does have a cool can. Like, I love the artwork on all of these cans, you know. So this one, it's like the birds on the wire with like the setting sun, but it's kind of that layered vector, you know, kind of feel to it. It's very peaceful looking.
It's kind of like the migration patterns.
Dude, so we're in that time frame, or I think we're about to be, where like 8 million birds sit on the wires all over the highway.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, it's kind of creeps me out. Feels like being in the movie The Birds.
Have you ever seen?
I have seen the movie The Birds multiple times.
Okay, well, I don't remember. Sorry.
Well, no, I know you're a big Hitchcock fan. You took a Hitchcock class, right?
I did. It's my favorite class ever.
Well, I mean, you took it in college, so it had to be pretty decent, so.
It was my favorite class ever.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I am about to crack this open. Unless you found it.
I haven't yet. The app that shall not be named. Just a minute ago, and now it's not coming back.
The app that shall not be named. What are you doing?
I don't know, because I literally was trying to prep ahead of time.
Okay, well, we'll pause and we'll come back. Do, 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 do.
Hey, got it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got it.
I hope we don't get copyrighted for that.
It was real short.
Game show that shall not be named.
App that shall not be named. That's an asshole, because I had it pulled up before we ever started recording, but now I have it again, so.
There we go.
Like you said, Pilsner Czech with, what'd you say, Saws?
That's how I pronounced it. I hope that's right. S-A-A-Z.
Yeah, and Tallis.
That's exactly what I said off the can.
Okay, I was just asking. There was a question mark after that.
Oh, yes. The answer would be yes.
Okay. So, the app that shall not be named describes it as Belgian-y.
Belgian-y, nice.
Light, refreshing, balanced, and hoppy. And did you give the ABV?
I did. It was 5%.
Okay, just checking.
All right, well, let's crack it open and get it going. Let's
check it out. Ooh. This Belgian-y beer.
Oh, it's got a little head to it, but not too bad. I thought for a second it was going to go.
It's a happy beer.
It's still expanding, though.
It's a happy beer.
This is real happy. All right. Let's just do it. You ready? Cheers.
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, why is it burning my mouth?
Burning your mouth? There shouldn't be anything burning your mouth.
It's gone now. It just burned it for a minute. I think I took it too big of a sip. It's really good.
It's like, what?
It's really good.
Yeah, I like it because it's got that. So it's a Pilsner.
Yeah,
but it's got
it's not a boring Pilsner.
No, it's not like a.
It's a sophisticated Pilsner.
I feel like it. Yeah, and it's got a. I think the hops add to it, but at the same time, it's not like real super hoppy or anything.
Well, because they made it a Pilsner, they smooth the hops out just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's kind of nice to be able to taste some of the hops in that Pilsner. So I like it. I think it's really good.
It's a very complex Pilsner.
I would agree with you, yeah.
For a Pilsner, yeah, absolutely. It really is.
Well, yeah,
Pilsner is like Bud Light, right?
I believe Bud Light is a Pilsner-style beer, but I think some of them can be very boring, but you can do some things with them, too. So I thought this was very... Well,
and they proved the
point. Yeah, exactly. So I like that one a lot.
It's very, very good. What would you give it?
I would give that a 4.5. And the only reason I do 4.5, because I am impressed with the hops. I'm just still not a humongous Pilsner fan. But this is definitely, as far as Pilsners go,
one of the better ones.
Like, I would drink that, so.
Okay, so I got Independent U.S. Craft Breweries Level 40, Crisp as the Day Level 2, which is apparently specific to Pilsner, so I feel like I should be way higher than level 2, but...
Well, funnily enough, you know, we don't drink a lot of Pilsners. We drink, you and I, like, if we go out, we get a lot of stouts and reds and,
That's true. But, like, if people are bringing beer to my house, I'm like, please, good God, bring me Bud Light and not some crazy, stupid beer that I've never had before.
Yeah, you're still a big Bud Light fan. I, on the other hand...
Oh, I hate it. No, I'm not a big fan anymore, but if I've never had it before and you're bringing me something off the wall and I don't like it...
Then you'd rather have the Bud Light.
Yeah, exactly. Then, like, so have me some backup Bud Light.
Sure, yeah, I get that.
It's better than fucking Coors Light.
I mean, everybody's got their opinions, you know?
Sorry, Cap the Racky.
Who?
Cap the Rockies, not Cap the Rackies.
No, I was like, who are the Rackies?
The Rockies.
That are capped.
When they're capped, they're the Rackies.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. You ready to do this?
I'm so ready. Yeah, I think it's time.
This time, we're going to be talking about two murders. What?
We're escalating. Is this escalation? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Okay. I mean, when we've been in the same area, and this is our third episode...
You gotta take it up. Yeah, take it up a notch. Yeah,
we are absolutely taking it up a notch. So we're gonna start with the murder of Sarah DeLeon.
Perfect. Well, let's do it. But I have to ask: is it DeLeon or is it DeLeon?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It looks like DeLeon, but I could be wrong.
Well, I agree, but we're from Texas and they're from Missouri.
Pronunciation.
So either way.
Okay.
Sarah. That's the same pronunciation. Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, Sarah was 18 years old and stabbed to death on December 29th, 1989. Her body was discovered that morning just before 10 a.m., and she was actually discovered like on the side of a railroad track near the highway. The conductor of the train is the one who discovered her, and he initially thought that she was a mannequin, which I still don't. So many people think they're looking at a mannequin, and I want to know, do people like discard of mannequins that much that...
I mean, maybe. I don't know. It seems a little odd, but maybe. I mean, how many people actually have mannequins to begin with to even discard of?
That. And again, why would you throw a mannequin on the side of a railroad track or in a lake? There's so many cases we hear about that people see something in a lake or wherever and they think it's a mannequin. And that's why they go to investigate, and it turns out to be a real human being.
Maybe it's just that part of our, I guess, better natures that doesn't want to believe that
like
what you're looking at.
Like, is our brain blocking it out?
Well, yeah, it's like you don't want to believe that it's actually a person, so you, I guess, make that assumption because you maybe think better of, I have no idea. But
is this easier to look at a mannequin than a dead body?
Yeah, definitely, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I would definitely say yes. Even though I don't think I've looked at either, but if I had to pick one.
I mean, you see mannequins in a store.
True. True. Anyway, he thought that she was a mannequin, but determined pretty quickly that this was a 18-year-old girl.
Now, hold up. So you said that the train conductor found her. Was he actually driving the train?
I believe so.
So he, like, stopped the train to, like, get out and check.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I mean, good for him, but I'm kind of surprised, especially if he thought it was a mannequin. I'm glad he stopped, but if he thought it was a mannequin, I'm kind of surprised he stopped the train to even get out and investigate, especially I'm sure they have schedules and things like that.
Well, but then if you think about it, if you didn't stop because you thought it was a mannequin, and then you found out later that it wasn't...
Then you'd feel guilty as hell. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, good. Like I said, good for him, but yeah.
So she had been stabbed to death. She had been stabbed at least 22 times.
Damn.
Most of her stab wounds were in her back, neck, and chest.
In the back?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I said she was 18. Some news sources claim that she was 19. But either way, she had just graduated from high school, and she had just begun attending Kansas City Community College.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
she's fucking young.
Yeah, so even if she was 19, she probably just turned 19. Yeah, so
exactly.
Yeah, but she was probably 18.
Sarah was last seen on December 29th, the day she was found. Because remember, she was found at like 10 a.m. in the morning or something. She was last seen about 1 a.m. that evening / morning.
It would have been technically morning, but I guess. To me, like, if I'm still awake...
It's still nighttime.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's still the same day. Until I go to bed, that's the same day.
Right.
But
she was leaving her boyfriend Matt's house about 1 a.m. on December 29th, and that can be verified. Police actually believe that she was not murdered at the railroad tracks, but that her body was dumped there. In addition to all those stab wounds we talked about, she had some head wounds as well. They made it sound like it was probably blunt force trauma. Like, she wasn't stabbed in the head. It made it sound like it was different types of wounds.
Yeah. So when she left her boyfriend's house, was she in a car or was she walking?
I think she was in a car.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but it's the impression I got.
Okay.
So, like I said, the police believed that Sarah was not murdered at this location, but the area of the railroad tracks where Sarah was discovered was a popular spot for teenagers to party unsupervised. So it wasn't surprising to see a teenager there. Probably surprising to see a
dead teenager.
Yeah. But it's like the Cheryl Fossil case. It was the area where people partied.
Yeah.
So, to make things even more confusing, Sarah had a younger brother named Matt. So, her boyfriend's name is Matt. Her younger brother's name is Matt.
I mean, it's a popular name.
I mean, we have a son named Matt.
We do.
So, Matt was only 17 when Sarah was murdered. And the two were very close because remember, she's either 18 or 19.
And he's 17. So yeah, I mean,
they're close in age and they had a very good relationship. They were very close to each other. And it took him a very long time to reconcile who would have killed his sister. And he kind of got to the point where he came to terms with the fact that he probably would never know who killed her and why.
So in the, so what you're saying is in the beginning, the investigation didn't really yield much results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Matt remembers his sister as being really outgoing and somebody who would be friends with anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
And we know from personal experience that's a good trait, but can be a bad trait.
Yeah.
It can cause problems. Sarah's mom, Gail, described Sarah as a wonderful girl who had no enemies. And she went on to say that Sarah was not the type to live like a high-risk lifestyle. And Gail has since moved out of the area and now lives in Colorado.
Understandable.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Now, Sarah's case did eventually go cold. Remember, this happened in 1989. So they didn't find any suspects, anything. So it did go cold. But her case was reopened in 2014, solely because of the improvement in DNA science and new DNA information. This is when they could confirm that she had some sort of unidentified head injury. We mentioned that a little bit earlier, but they just really wanted to go back and confirm everything from 1989.
Sure. Right? Yeah. They're doing their due diligence. Excuse me. Yeah.
And so they were able to determine both of those assumptions were correct. Police investigated and determined that Sarah had not been sexually assaulted, which, like, that's a good thing.
That's definitely a good thing, yeah.
It's a good thing, but at the same time, finding DNA is less likely.
That is also a valid point, yeah.
And, sadly, they never found a murder weapon, so that makes things harder to figure out what exactly happened, right?
Yeah.
Police went on to say that they found no evidence at the crime scene. There were no fingerprints, obviously no DNA, and no witnesses. So they really had nothing to go on.
Well, and like you said, it wasn't thought to be the murder scene. So if the body was dropped there and there's no, you know, you don't even know where the murder took place.
Well, and this is people years later in 2014 trying to go back and use new technology, but because the original police, like, we hear about police that will save evidence, not knowing what new technology is going to be like in the future, but they had nothing in this case to do that with.
Yeah.
All they had was her dead body.
It's not a good position to be in as an investigator, for sure.
Well, and then imagine being the cold case investigator that takes it over.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Because it's not like you have anything to
go on. You're starting from fresh.
Yeah, you don't have anything to add to the investigation. Yeah.
Yeah. They went on to say there were no fingerprints, even. There was nothing. And again, Sarah had been described as a, we talked about a little bit how she was, but she was very friendly, very outgoing. Everybody was shocked that she might have any enemies. But some people who knew Sarah knew that she had some issues with her boyfriend's ex, named Carolyn Kuhn. Sarah's car, a black Ford Mustang, I mean, good for her.
Truth that.
Although, 1989.
Oh, that, well.
Not the best Mustang, but still, good for her.
Was it an 89-year model Mustang?
They didn't say. Oh, okay. I'm assuming because that's when she died. Maybe she had a, like, 72.
I don't like the 80s body style, but.
No, I don't either, but I love.
From what I understand, they're pretty fat. I don't know.
It's a Mustang. Of course they're fast. But anyway, regardless, she did have a black Ford Mustang that had been discovered earlier before her body had been found. And the officer who found the car said that there was no sign of blood in the car or struggle in the car.
Huh.
So even though they found the car and hours later they found the body, still.
No evidence.
No evidence. The police did say that the Mustang's hazard lights were on, and it was discovered about a mile from her home, But that could be she got a flat tire or the check engine light came on. Hazards don't mean shit.
I get what you're saying. So, like, they're saying that, it, you know, it's possible maybe she had... Wait, are they saying that shit they thought?
No, they don't know anything. All the only evidence they have is that her hazard lights were on. There's no sign of a struggle. There's no blood. Okay, there's no nothing.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they could have accidentally gotten flipped on during the abduction, if that was even the case. Yeah, I mean,
And they're at this point, the police are grasping at straws, sort of. So they're like, are the hazards turned on for a reason?
But you did say it was on the side of the road, right?
Yeah. She was on the side of the road.
That would make sense, but it doesn't prove anything.
It doesn't prove anything, and she was only a file from her home.
A file?
Mile. She was only a mile from her home. And like I said, the hazard lights were on. And the only other thing that police could latch onto was that it looked like there might be a scuff mark on her back bumper and that one of her doors was open. But again, they couldn't. The scuff mark could have been there.
Well, you're absolutely right. It could have been there. But at the same time, it could be that maybe somebody like tapped her.
Right.
And then she got out because of it. And that would actually fit with the blinkers being on because, you know, you get into a little fender bender, uh-huh. You pull over on the side of the road, you swap insurance. It would be a really easy way to get somebody to get out of the car. And
this is why I love you so much, because you had no idea what I was about to say next. But the reason that this scuff mark became significant was because at the time of Sarah's murder, there was this really big rash of bump and go burglaries where people would exactly do that. Bump into your car, cause you to pull over, rob you and go do something else. Now, it wasn't typically a bump and murder.
Yeah, right.
But still, because they saw the scuff mark and because of all the shit that was going on, they had to take that into consideration.
Sure. And let's be honest, sometimes robberies go sideways and...
And that's exactly, the police thought, well, maybe this was a burglary that went wrong and escalated to murder.
Yeah.
But again, that was as far as they got.
Yeah, I mean, there's no proof. There's evidence of it being a possibility, but there's nothing to say that that's for sure what it was.
Exactly. And so, like I said earlier, cold case investigators took over the case. And they looked at all of this information and they ultimately determined that this bump and go robbery escalated to murder didn't make sense because the attack on Sarah was far too brutal and they believed it was a personal attack, the way she was attacked.
I mean, 20 stab wounds, yeah, for sure.
They believed it was more personal. Now, the official cause of death for Sarah obviously was stabbing, but she was fatally stabbed in the heart.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, because you said back and chest and neck.
Yes, but what caused her death was a stab to the heart, and it was determined that many of those stab wounds occurred after she died.
So that would indicate, at least to me, that they were face-to-face initially during the stabbing, and then, yeah, she was stabbed in the back probably afterwards?
Either way, she was stabbed a whole bunch after she died.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, if you think about it, if the stab wound to the heart is what killed her and a lot of the stab wounds were after she died, then yeah, probably. He probably rolled her over. Maybe he or she thought she was still alive.
Well, or she fell that way.
Right, you know. Exactly. Experts went on to analyze the murder and they too agreed with cold case detectives that Sarah was not a victim of the bump and go robbery.
So when you say experts, so we're not considering the cold case investigators experts?
I think these were outside.
Oh, like consultant experts? Yeah, like in certain. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So they kind of agreed.
Yeah.
Right? And again, this was because the amount of rage shown in the stabbing. We talked about it, the 20 stabbings continuing to stab after she was dead. They went on to say that the amount of rage that the killer showed in killing Sarah made them pretty sure that this murder was really personal and not a random one. And if it was the bump and go, it would have been random.
Yeah, right.
They quickly determined when they reopened the case that Sarah most likely knew
her attacker.
Her attacker, yeah. So like I said, Sarah had left her boyfriend's house before she was attacked. They had gone on a date, and investigators were able to confirm that she left his house about 1:30 a.m. As they continued to reinvestigate, police were able to determine that Sarah's body had been dragged to the railroad track, confirming that she was not murdered there.
So how far was the car from the railroad tracks?
I don't know
that. Oh, okay. Fair enough. But what are we assuming, that she was attacked at the car and then drugged
to... All we're assuming is that she was not attacked and killed at the railroad tracks.
Okay, fair enough. But because her body was drugged there.
Right. But remember, there's no blood, no nothing in her car.
Right.
So it could have been on the way to the railroad tracks. Like, they really don't know. All they can confirm is that she left her boyfriend's house at 1:30. And police believe that there may have been two people involved in murdering her.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and back to the other... Sorry, I'm going to loop back for a second. You're fine. But on that other one, like, they never found the murder scene, right?
Yeah, no, they never found... They found her body.
Right. So the reason I bring that up is, okay, so they found the car... So she would not have been drugged from the car to the thing, because she wasn't murdered at her car. So, okay, that answered my own question. Right, sorry.
Because there was no evidence of anything in her car other than, like, the door was open.
And the hazards, yeah.
And the hazards.
Yeah, that was Okay. Yeah, sorry. Because they never found it, but she was drugged, yeah, it's just a little odd. But anyway, go ahead.
She wasn't drugged. She was drug.
No, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. I thought you said she was drugged. No. The reason police believed that there were two attackers is that they believed that one of them grabbed her by the wrists and the other one grabbed her by the ankles, and that's how they got her down to the railroad tracks. And I don't know what made them determine that, but that's what they thought.
Well, yeah, and that's interesting, because if you have somebody holding the ankles and you have somebody holding the wrists, then where's the dragging?
Where's the dragging?
It's a little confusing, but yeah.
Now, remember, so I said Kansas City. So Sarah was actually from Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay.
But now I'm going to switch, and I'm going to tell you about Diana Ault.
Oh, we're switching it up.
Who was from Kansas City, Missouri, which is Crane Brewing.
Is this like Texarkana, where they like border each other?
Oh, Kansas.
It's like on the line, so you got one half here.
Yeah,
and there.
They're okay. Very, very close together.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not familiar with the area, but yeah, like you've it's got like Texarkana,
right,
Texas.
It's right on the fucking border.
Cool.
So before we jump into the next murder of Diana in Kansas City, Missouri, the last thing I want to say is that Sarah's brother... We talked about him earlier. They were very, very close. Has continuously said that Sarah had been harassed up until the time of her death.
Was this by the ex-girlfriend or?
Yeah. I don't think we brought that up, but yes.
Yeah, you did.
I did? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So they think possibly that Matt's ex had been harassing her just weeks before she was murdered.
Fair enough. And before we jump into this next segment, I think we should also try another beer.
Oh, true. We should. I got so wrapped up, I forgot we had beer.
Yeah. So let's do Legends.
Okay. You know, I'm going to have to, like, you didn't.
You got to find it. I know. I threw you off. I know.
You threw me off.
Yep. And so while you're doing that, I'll say this is the Crane Brewing Legends, which is a Kolsch style ale, and it is a 5.2% ABV. So you find it, I'll crack it open.
Okay, I'm working on it. Got it.
Perfect, perfect.
All right, you want to check it out?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Oh, this has the Saws hops, too.
Does it?
That's what it says.
All right, well, why don't you give it a try first?
Okay. I mean, I like the can, but I also like baseball.
Yeah, it has that ballpark feel. It's got a dude just knocking it out of the park on the front.
Yeah, knocking it out of the park.
Dig it.
Oh, that's pretty good too. It's smooth.
Yeah, that was really it's smooth.
It's kind of like a gentle beer.
It is. I mean, it's a lager, so it's a much lighter beer.
But it's really good.
Yeah, I like that.
What would you give it?
I think I'm going to go 4.5 again, but it's really good.
Then I'm going to do 4.75 because I like that
one. You like that one even more, huh?
Not anymore.
Why?
Because I didn't get any badges. Oh. No badges for me.
She's like, I'm changing it back to 4.5. No, we're kidding. It's really good.
So. It is very, very good.
All right.
So now we're going to jump ahead to January 31st, 1994, which you don't know, but that date should ring a bell in your head.
January 31st, 1994. No, what is it?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Cowboys.
Played.
Oh, which one? I don't know.
The Bills. Oh, at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta.
That was that game?
That was that game where I had the fucking seat from it and all that shit.
Was that their first or second win? Because they had two Super Bowls in a row, and then they like missed a year.
It was not their first.
Okay, all right.
But they did win 30-13. They beat the Bills 30-13.
Nice.
So
it's back when we had like Emmitt and Irving and
Aikman.
And yeah, that was a good team.
Yeah. The Cowboys have not been the same since. But Dion tried. He tried.
I liked Dion. I used to have Dion's signature.
Neon Dion. Who was from Atlanta, by the way.
But he started out playing baseball before he played
absolutely
football.
He played baseball for the Atlanta Braves, and he was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Dion was a really good athlete. So.
He may have been an asshole prick that lives just down the street from us, but yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, they won 30-13. So let's be honest, the Cowboys are the America's team.
They are America's team.
So America was celebrating.
Oh, hails to the yeah.
But, oh, and before I say this, by the way, for those who want to know, the halftime act in 1994.
Yeah.
Was the Judds.
Really?
Featuring Clint Black, Travis Tritt, and Tonya Tucker.
Oh, how half times have changed.
Right?
Now if like a boob doesn't slip out, it's not exciting. I don't know. I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm kidding.
I'm not entirely sure. Sorry, Tonya Tucker. I'm not entirely sure even in 1994 anybody would have wanted to see her boob because she's older.
I mean, I don't really know much about her, but yeah, you're probably right.
So sadly, in Independence, Missouri, January 31st was not remembered for the Cowboys whooping the Bills' ass. They remembered something much more tragic, and this was the death of Diana Ault. Diana was a 26-year-old mother who was shot and killed, and again, case is still unsolved. And this was only 5 years after Sarah's death.
Okay.
Same area. Kind of same MO, unsolved, right?
Different weapon, but yeah.
Sarah was shot, wasn't she?
No, she was stabbed, remember? Stabbed in the chest and back and neck.
You're right.
Man, damn. This is your case. What?
Hey, that just means you're paying attention for once. Good job.
For once, I always pay attention. I just get lost a lot. That's different.
Yeah, but you didn't get lost this time. I did.
No, that's true. I've been keeping up. I'm keeping up.
So, Diana was described by her friends as athletic, intelligent, with a really good work ethic. And I think we can say that because she was significantly older, right? Sarah was 18 or 19. Diana's 26, so...
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, yeah.
She actually worked as a paralegal, and she was very well-liked and known to be really good at her job. And her goal was eventually to become a lawyer.
Good for her.
Yeah, another badass.
That's a rigorous path, yeah.
Diana's dad described her as a good girl, but a real go-getter. She got her bachelor's degree in business from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And shortly after that is when she earned her paralegal certificate. And I think that's when she decided, oh, I really like this. Maybe I want to be a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure with that, it's a nice track to move straight into that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. In the original investigation, police were able to determine that Diana had been shot in the neck at close range.
In the neck?
While walking down the hallway to her kitchen.
Well, okay, so I have a question. So is she living in a house, a dorm, apartment? Like, where?
Is she living in an apartment? She's 26.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, that's right, because, yeah, yeah, she don't dorm anymore.
Yeah, she lived in an apartment, because she had a son, and they interviewed him, and he was, I don't know his exact age, but he was relatively young. And the one thing, obviously, he couldn't give the police a lot of information, because he was so young. But the one thing that he could say was that someone shot my mommy.
Well, and ultimately, somebody broke into their house to do it.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if she was in the hallway walking to her kitchen, yeah.
So again, initially believed that burglary was the motive for everything you just said. And on top of that, her house was in disarray, so it looked like somebody had come in and was looking for something. But it didn't take long. They did some investigating, and the FBI no longer believes that that's the case. But that was the initial thought.
Oh, wow. So they brought the FBI in on this one.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder what prompts them to bring him in or not bring him in. Like, did they think this might have been connected to something else? Like, why bring the FBI in on a home invasion shooting, or at least what seems to be that?
So, spoiler alert, the reason we're talking about Sarah and Diana is they do think there's a connection.
Well, I kind of figured, but yeah, I mean,
I don't know exactly what caused them to call the FBI in, because this was 5 years after Sarah's death, but both went unsolved. And I think eventually they found something that linked the two, and that's when the FBI got brought in and they decided burglary's not the motive.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Diana's husband, Tim, was actually at work when his wife was killed. And from what their son, Josh, can remember, he says that whoever the killer was actually hid him in a closet.
Oh, really?
So the killer came in, picked up the baby, hid him in a closet, killed his mom, and then drove off in his mom's car. And then the only other thing that Josh remembers from that night is the police showing up at his house. And I go into this a little bit more later, but they've interviewed him again as an adult, because now he's an adult.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. He's like, I remember somebody picking me up and hiding me in the closet. I know they drove away in my mom's car, but he doesn't, like, he's still to this day, that's all he remembers.
I mean, that's probably a good thing. I mean, having that information to, like, try to help would obviously be one thing, but
the fact that they kept him away from that?
I mean, not... It's good that he didn't see his mom murdered, and I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. But it's good he didn't see his mother exactly. murdered in front of him, right?
Exactly. Now, police initially began investigating Diana's car, because it had been abandoned, because like Josh said, the killer took off in his mom's car. And so it was abandoned, and this suspicious vehicle was reported to the police. So the police went to go investigate it. She drove a Grand Prix, and they quickly determined it was Diana's car. It was actually found at a church only about a half a mile from her house.
Oh, wow. So it didn't go far.
Didn't go far. And the car was still running, and the door was open when it was found.
It was still running?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, I won't even ask. Doesn't make sense to just leave it running. Like, because that to me signals suspicion. Like, if I saw a car that was running,
you'd want to know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if it's running and the door's open, like, that makes no sense. So that would lead people to, like, be like, what the fuck? So,
yep.
To, like, if you're going to kill somebody, wouldn't you try to avoid suspicion? Like, that doesn't make sense.
No, I agree. And obviously, she wouldn't kill in the car. She was killed at her home, but they did find the car. They went to investigate, and when they searched the car, they found a Ruger Red Hawk 44 caliber Magnum gun, and they determined that one bullet had been fired, and the rest of the bullets were in the chamber. Assuming that's what killed Diana. They didn't say, but they also said that they believed that the gun belonged to Diana's husband.
Interesting.
Right.
So, okay. So, since we kind of spoiled a little bit, we know the cases are connected, but
they believe
that. Or they at least believe they're connected. But, like, these are so different. Like, one is...
Well, she was 19. Diana was 26. It is completely different.
Well, yeah, one's stabbed. Attacked in her car and stabbed. This is a home invasion.
Yeah.
the murder weapon they never found in the first one. The second one,
they found it.
A totally different weapon, and they're now, and they found it because they left it behind. Like, these seem very unrelated. So I'm interested to see where this goes.
They do seem very unrelated, especially when they say they believe that the murder weapon was Diana's husband's weapon, right?
Yeah, right. So if it's not him, somebody would be trying to set him
would
up.
Have
but how would they have gotten his gun?
Yeah, exactly. So they actually found the car before they knew she had been shot.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, somebody left it running with the door open. People get suspicious. That looks fucking weird.
So they did their little thing.
I like how you're using your hands and nobody can see you. But yes, they pulled it up on the computer.
You did it earlier. It's fine. We both do it. But they were able to determine that the car that they found was Diana's. And that's why they went to her home. And when they went to her home is when they found Josh freaking out in the closet, right?
Oh, he was still in the closet?
Yeah, he was still in the closet.
Fuck. Was he locked in or was he just...
No, he was just little, though.
Just too little, like, open the door and get out?
He was just little and he was scared.
Jeez. Like, well, maybe that's why they left the car running, so they could go to the house and free him? Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe it was a killer with a little bit of a soft side? I don't know.
Oh.
They exist.
I mean, I'm not trying to give any, like, credit or anything.
No, but they do exist.
The killer did pick the kid up, put him in the closet. Yeah, I mean... So, obviously, they didn't want the kid to see anything.
What was going on, right?
Yeah, so maybe they wanted to make sure he didn't get fucking left in the closet. So, but with her husband, like, it's confirmed. He's at work. He's, like, cleared, right?
Yeah, they cleared her husband. And in March of this year, 2022... The FBI reopened their case on Diana, and her father was ecstatic. And the big thing that he pointed out was that she had actually been buried longer than she was ever alive, because they opened the case back up this year, which was 28 years later.
Jeez.
And she was 26 when she died.
Man.
Yeah. Kind of...
I've never heard that. You know, it's funny, we do these all the time, but...
To put it that way.
Yeah, I've never heard somebody say those words, and when you think about that, like...
Yeah.
Even though it should be fucking obvious, it's...
It's not.
It's a weird thing to really, like, look at, you know?
And so, yeah, he was really, really excited. And the FBI actually put up billboards in Kansas City about Diana, hoping that might bring... some leads. They had about 8 billboards in the metro area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like I said, her body was discovered just after midnight. She didn't just have Josh. She actually had 2 kids.
Where was the other kid?
So her son, Josh, was 4. He's the one that was in the closet. Her daughter was 7 months old. And when they went into the home, they could hear the baby crying. So I think the baby was just in her crib.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Probably Josh... was, like, chilling with his mom, because he's 4.
Yeah, right.
And killer sees Josh, hides him. Killer may not have even known that there was another kid in the house.
Maybe not, yeah.
So, remember, they found her car first, and that's why they went to her house. So when police arrived, they obviously don't want to just bust up in there, because probable cause and all that bullshit, right? But they get there and they can hear the 7-month-old crying. And that's when they're like, okay. So they they're ready to break down the door, but the door was unlocked.
Oh, shit. So they just open it up and walk in.
Yeah, they just go in. And apparently Josh had figured out how to get out of the closet right before the police got there. Because when the police got there, he was found like laying... on his mom's chest.
Oh, no.
And
where was she shot?
In the kitchen.
No, where in her body?
Oh, I don't know. They didn't say.
Okay.
That's
fucked up, but yeah.
Go ahead. Actually, I said that his sister may have been sleeping, but no, she was on the floor too, laying in her mother's blood when they...
The baby?
The baby.
Oh, my God.
So he was laying on her chest. His sister was lying in... their mother's blood. Neither kids were hurt, but they were both covered in Diana's blood.
That's fucked up. Right?
Like, who fucking does that?
Well, and like, okay, so here's one thing. So you said the baby was how old?
7 months old.
7 months old. It obviously can't move. So yeah. Either she was holding and carrying the baby when she was shot, or the killer took the baby and placed it next to her, which is fucked up.
Either way is fucked up. Either way is fucked up.
The fuck? Okay.
And I don't know. I just know that when they found her, she was in her mom's blood.
Wow.
Diana's older sister, Sharon, remembers when she got the phone call about Diana's murder. And she said her first thought was, like, who would want to kill Diana? But then, almost immediately, her mind went to a woman that Diana's husband had had an affair with. Diana had apparently told her sister and some other friends that her husband did have an affair, but he had broken it off. And when he did, the woman started harassing Diana, going so far as to make threatening phone calls, and she had previously broken into their home.
Oh, what?
And remember, Diana's husband said that there was a woman who was harassing her.
Yeah, yeah. Is it the same lady?
I'm assuming so. I don't think her husband...
Oh, we don't know?
I don't know, because I don't think her husband wanted to say she was being harassed. He called her an ex.
Gotcha. But that would... Well, if it was the same person, there's your fucking connection.
I mean. Diana's father remembers Diana telling him about the harassment and that this woman even stalked her right before the murder. And Tim, Diana's husband, confirmed that not only did Diana receive threatening phone calls prior to her death, he did too. So this woman was threatening both of them.
Fucking crazy bitches.
Yeah. Too many of them.
Truth.
So Lauren Freeman, that's a dude, not a woman, by the way.
Fair enough.
Was on the task force that reopened Diana's case, because her case has been reopened as well. And he's really kind of an optimist, and he really wants to find out who killed Diana. He was a detective with the Independence, Missouri police, but he's also a part of the FBI's violent crime unit.
Wait. Is he FBI or is he...
He's both.
He's a police officer and an FBI agent?
He's both.
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't either, but he is both.
That is odd, but respect.
Savage.
Respect, yeah.
He's both. And he shared...
Does this guy sleep?
Probably not.
With both eyes open?
Yes.
While he works, like...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He did share early on when he joined the case that there was new evidence and new technology. In that him and his team planned to follow the new evidence using as much of the new technology as they could.
Hells to the yeah. So where's with the... second murder, Diana.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
Right. So did they get like DNA or did they get any fingerprints, hair, anything?
They got something.
But we don't know what it is.
We don't know exactly what it was, but they did get something because on October 19th, 2016, this is going to get confusing for you, but.
I'm going to try to follow. Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
We're going to go back to Sarah for a minute. That was 1989.
Yep.
On October 19th, 2016, a woman named Carolyn Heckert of Smithville, Missouri, who happened to be a former realtor in the area, was arrested for the murder of Sarah.
Okay. All right.
And at the time, they believed that there was a possible connection between Sarah's murder and Diana's murder. And Carolyn was that connection. So Carolyn actually lived in Smithville, Missouri, which is about 20 miles north of Kansas City, Kansas, which is where Sarah was from, and about 20 miles south of Kansas City, Missouri, where Diana was from. So right in the middle of our two victims, right?
Okay, yep.
Carolyn had an affair with Diana's husband.
It was that chick, okay.
And was also the ex of Sarah's boyfriend.
Ooh, called it.
Her bail was initially set to be $1 million.
Damn.
But at some point, her defense argued some shit and it was lowered to $500,000. Carolyn would have actually only been 21 at the time of Sarah's murder in 1989.
Okay. Well, that's 2 years older than her.
year. Yeah, because she was 18 or 19, depending on the article.
Yeah, so 2-3 years, yeah.
But she was, at the time of her arrest in 2016, a mother of 2 daughters. She presented herself as a really professional businesswoman, and she devoted her life to her 2 daughters. She was arrested for the murder of Sarah, but only a year later, the charges were dropped because the judge thought the prosecution did not have enough evidence to pursue a case. Which, I mean, obviously there's some circumstantial shit happening between the 2 cases, but I respect that. If you feel like there's not enough evidence, I respect that.
Well, and I will say in this case, especially with Sarah's, because there was no fingerprints, there was no nothing, it totally makes sense that without... So, like, maybe if Diana's murder, if she was convicted of that, then they might be able to use that in the prosecution of her for Sarah's murder. But because they have no evidence, you really can't start there. You almost have to come back around to it.
Now, she did, obviously, once the charges were dropped, she denied involvement in either murder because speculation had already come up that she was involved in both.
Okay.
So she denied it. At the time, her oldest daughter was like this avid, talented gymnast that her mom actually featured on her own website. And now let's pause because I think we have 2 more beers to try.
We do. All right. Well, let's do the Odd Bird.
Odd Bird. I like it.
So the Odd Bird is a corn lager. This is the one I was talking about earlier. I have never had a corn lager.
I've never heard of a...
I've never heard... Yeah, exactly. I've never heard of a corn lager. So this will be interesting. But this is a 4.7 ABV. And I'm curious. This looks like this might be a collaboration. So it has Crane Brewing Company. And then it also has Kansas Hop Company.
Okay, so here's what the app that shall not be named says.
The app that shall not be named.
Corn lager named after Odd Bird Farms, who collects our spent grain to feed their heritage Mohegan hogs, hopped with local Kinnock from Kansas Hop Company. So I think it may be a collaboration between them and another hop company. It's described as light, crisp, clean, malty, and dry.
Okay, yeah, so it looks like they're kind of paying homage to their local producers, so I dig it. Yeah. So not a collaboration, I was incorrect. So, but yeah, let's try it out. I'm looking forward to it.
Pop it, boo.
Frothy.
But is it light, crisp, clean, malty, and dry?
Well, I don't know, I haven't tried it yet. But I am now, let's do it. Yes, it is absolutely. It is absolutely all of those things. I actually really like that. I still don't really understand what I mean. Well, it's got corn in it, so obviously it's
corn. Well, I don't taste the corn. Am I supposed to taste the corn?
I don't know, but it is very good. It's very good.
All right, what'd you give it? I like the can.
I'm gonna go up to a 4.75 on that.
I was about to say I'm gonna give 4.25 just on the can.
Just you don't like the can?
No.
You said 4.25.
Without. If I was just going to rate the can without tasting
it. Oh, they made it up to a 4.25 just because of the can. And then the beer awesome. Yeah. Takes it the rest of the way. Okay, I got you. Yeah. I dig it.
I really like that. That's my favorite can.
It does. Is that like a peacock?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it did not give me any badges, and now I might have to lower its rating.
Sad face.
Okay. So it's known that the prosecution had a lot of evidence showing that Carolyn would have a motive for these murders, and they called it romantic rivalry. But sadly, they didn't have enough physical evidence, so they had evidence, but not physical evidence.
Yeah.
The arrest of Carol was supported by new DNA that linked her to Sarah's murder, but apparently it wasn't good enough because, as we know, the case was dropped later. But Carol's neighbors were shocked when the U.S. Marshals showed up at Carol's house to arrest her.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, the U.S. Marshals got involved, and they also believed that Sarah's murder was premeditated.
Yeah. But still, there's not enough evidence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Carol's neighbors were surprised that she was arrested. However, most of them didn't really have a good description of her. And they said that she was not very approachable.
Most of the neighbors?
Yeah. So they were surprised, But not because they knew her personally, I think. Like, gotcha. They didn't know her. They were just surprised that somebody they knew.
Like, this shit's going down in my neighborhood? Right. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because most of them didn't know her and described her as unapproachable. And just a week before she had been arrested, she had put up a no trespassing sign on her property. Which, I mean, take that, leave that, whatever. Like, I don't think that's...
I mean, there's people out there who are crotchety and don't want to talk to people and are unapproachable and just want people to fuck off, but that doesn't necessarily make them killers. But.
Right. I don't think the no trespassing sign is a thing, but they brought it up.
But it doesn't necessarily help her case either, because exactly. In a lot of these cases, the neighbors are surprised because they do know them and because they think they're a good person and they're just totally surprised that that would even happen.
In this case, it sounds like most of her neighbors did not know her.
Yeah, exactly.
Authorities also said that they had DNA evidence that linked Carol to Diana's murder, too, but they hadn't quite charged her with that murder yet. So I'm thinking they were trying to look for some more evidence.
Yeah.
And she never was arrested for Diana's murder. But Diana's father was pleased that she got arrested at all. He said that Carol's arrest was a long time coming and that Sarah's family deserved it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
both of these families deserve closure.
Right, right, and there had long time been rumor that the two might have been connected, but there was nothing ever to show that, and they're finally getting there, right? But they have enough, they thought, to bring her in on Sarah's, but not enough to bring her in on Diana's. And so, give Diana's dad props. He's like, you know what? Her family deserves it. Sarah's family deserves it.
Sure, yeah.
Bring her in. And he actually went on to say that he didn't just want them to, like, connect Carol to his daughter. He wanted to know for sure that the person who was responsible for his daughter's murder is the one who was arrested, convicted.
Yeah, right. You don't want, you want to know for sure that the person who actually did the crime is the one who's doing the time. Like, you want real, true closure.
Well, and he wanted to make sure the correct person was punished. And I think even at this time, yeah, there's still that rumor that the two might be connected. But again, they didn't have the concrete evidence for his daughters, so he didn't want them to just try to tack it on to Sarah's.
Right.
Right.
And in factuality, really, they're not connected per se, like as far as the murders are concerned. Right. The connection is the person doing it, but the murders really aren't connected in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is very well known that Carol frequently threatened women who she might have considered what authorities called love rivals.
Because she's a crazy bitch.
But she didn't have any criminal record, which didn't help the situation, right? So I told you the judge dropped the case earlier, right?
Yeah.
So Sarah's family felt like they'd been screwed big time. They wanted a trial by jury, and they felt like the judge made the decision to drop the case without any actual information. The family said that the judge ignored the right to a trial by jury and automatically decided that Carol was innocent of any involvement before really looking into it.
Well, I mean, I will say you do have to have enough evidence to, at least from my understanding, and I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding is that you do have to have enough evidence to even really bring a case. Otherwise,
exactly.
What's the point, right? So
exactly. Carol was 48 when the charges against her were dropped. She'd actually spent 6 months in prison awaiting trial before they were even dropped.
Oh, wow.
So she did spend 6 months in prison. And when she was released, Carol was asked by local media if she had killed Sarah, but instead of just saying no, she said no comment.
Interesting. I mean, and that may have been at the instruction of a lawyer. I mean,
right,
that does happen.
Right, but say fucking no.
Yeah, I mean, generally you just flat out deny the... Yeah, but I don't know, that's weird.
No comment implies that you were at least involved.
It doesn't... Okay, so
implied.
We have innocent until proven guilty. There's no implication, really. I mean, we as people look at that absolutely and say, that's fishy as fuck.
And well, it is, because if you didn't do it, you say no.
You would think so.
Yeah.
But there's lots of people who do things that are odd that didn't necessarily commit a crime. So there is that line, right?
Now, the judge who dropped the charges against Carol did admit that there was an obvious motive and admitted that there was a high amount of suspicion. The reason he dropped the charges is because he felt like there just was not enough evidence to take her to trial, which I get that. That's like a waste of time, right? It's a waste of time, taxpayers' money, all that stuff. If you don't feel like...
Well, and I'll interrupt here because let's be honest, he might have actually in a weird way been looking out for the family.
Yeah.
Because if you take that shit to trial and there's not enough evidence and she gets acquitted...
Then you can't try her again. You can't
ever try her again. Yeah. So why not hold off and see if you can get something more concrete other than... Because then she gets away with murder if she did it, right?
Well, and we're getting to the end of this, but what's so sad is... So she was arrested for Sarah's murder. Charges were dropped. And law enforcement, to this day, still believe that there is a connection between Sarah and Diana's murder. They truly believe that. And they believe that Carolyn is the link there.
Are these both unsolved?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Okay.
They're both unsolved. But Carol has never been named a suspect in Diana's case. And she was never arrested for anything in relation to Diana's case. Only Sarah's.
Wow.
Because they just couldn't get that evidence for Diana's case, other than they knew that she had been involved with her husband.
So she looks like a good candidate for being the person who did it, but there's
nothing to support it.
Nothing there, so yeah. You can't really say, yeah.
So both families, Sarah's family and Diana's family, wholeheartedly believe that the two murders are tied together somehow. And they've always felt this way. And keep in mind, they didn't know each other until their daughters were murdered.
Right.
But because of this, they have become friends. They actually held a joint memorial for Sarah and Diana together.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Because they're same area, same...
Sure.
They obviously had... Whether Carol did it or not, they had some sort of connection through Carol.
Well, and I think it's good that the families are both supporting each other, and I think that adds to the kind of the strength and healing and things like that. So good for them.
And it kind of sounds like Sarah's case has kind of... I promise I'm not giving police a hard time. They've kind of stopped looking into it because I think they feel like Carol was the one, but they can't prove it. So they're not really trying to pursue anything else, but they are still actively pursuing Diana's murder. And actually, the FBI is still working on Diana's murder. So if you have any information, you can call 1-800-CALL-FBI or go to tipsfbi.gov because they are trying to close Diana's case. And I feel like if they got enough evidence from Diana's case that they could tie to Sarah's case, they'd be able to actually...
I agree.
Fully close both?
Yeah, you would almost have to, because they don't have the evidence in the first one. They by getting a conviction in the first, then they would at least have something to go on in the second one to kind of support that motive.
But they didn't get that.
Well, right, but they have the motive. So if they can prove that she's killed before and they can get it admitted... Well, but
Diana's number two. They've given up on number one.
I'm sorry. What I meant to say was if you can prove that she has murdered somebody...
Yeah.
Then you can at least maybe say if you can get it...
Backtrack.
If you can admit it, you can say she has a history... So while the evidence is circumstantial, it's highly likely, and then take that to court. Maybe, I don't know, I could be totally wrong.
It is very, very sus that this Carol lady was Sarah's boyfriend's ex-girlfriend and was harassing Diana. Like, obviously there's a connection there. I'm not saying she killed anybody. I'm not
No, we would not do that because, yes, that would be, we're not trying to get sued.
Yeah, so. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm not surprised that people have looked for that connection because it's the only thing they have for either one of the cases.
Sure. I mean, well, and when you have as little as they have in this case, at least from what it sounds like, you got to go with what you got.
So, yeah, they're still actively working on it. And if you can help them out, help them out. And I think we have one last beer to try.
All right.
Because that's the end.
Perfect. So on this one, we're going to be doing the Crane Brewing Company Tea Weiss. And this is a sour ale brewed with berry... It's R-O-O-I-B-O-S. Rooibos tea?
Rooibos.
Rooibos. Berry Rooibos tea.
And it's our most approachable sour beer.
Perfect. And it's a 4.2. I will say, these guys kill sours.
Yeah, they're really good at the sours. They really, really are.
I used to hate sours. Every sour I've had from these guys has been phenomenal. So
oh, yeah. They've been really, really good.
This will be ending on a high note, I think. So let's crack her open and give her a try. Man. They did it again. I love their sours. And that one's like
really...
It's not
even sour.
So it is a little bit, but it's like not... Oh, it's not over aggressive. It's super smooth.
Oh,
you get a little
good.
Bit of that tea in there. Like, that's really good. That's a 5.0. I love that.
5.0. Okay. Let's see if I finally get a badge this time.
Crane Brewing kicks sour's ass.
Oh, man. I got badges.
Oh, nice. Definitely like 6.0 now.
Writing study level 13. Oh, I got a brand new one that I've never done before. Ich bin in Berliner.
That's German.
Well, that's what it says, right?
Yeah, it's Ich bin ein Berliner. I'm probably fucking it up still, but
that
I tried.
Better than
I feel like
mine
I did better than you.
You totally did. Yes, yeah. You absolutely did.
I did my best. I listen to some Rammstein every now and again, so I feel like I got a little closer. But
well, Floon keeps talking to me German. Like. He's French, so he's
true.
Like,
well, yeah, true.
That's really good.
Yeah, well, I have to give a big shout out to Crane Brewing. I really appreciate those guys. They sent us a ton of beer.
Well, we really try not to
three cases,
and we try not to do them back to back. But sorry, y'all got two Crane Brewings back to back.
That's okay though. Their beer is really good. Love those guys. So really appreciate them.
Yeah, they're awesome. Go check them out if you are in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hell yeah, or any place where you can pick up their beer. So
true
yeah.
That too. I don't know anything about where you should be to be able to do that though.
Yeah, we're
I'm
way
from Texas.
Further south.
Yeah. Tejas versus Kansas.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's drivable for sure.
I mean, we did drive to Missouri in July.
Yeah, it's totally doable. Totally doable.
But
maybe we'll have to head up there and check them out.
We drove to the corner of Missouri.
Yeah, it was definitely that like light corner, and then we kind of looped back down.
Like we didn't even go through Kansas.
it was a fair drive, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. So anyway, we appreciate those guys, and we appreciate you guys tuning in. We have had an amazing week. You guys have been showing us a lot of love.
Yes,
we love you guys. We really appreciate it. And we would love it if you're enjoying the show and you're listening, and we know you are because the download.
We see it.
Oh, yeah, we do. We get like the stats and everything. And the downloads were like way super up, and we really, really, truly, truly appreciate it. But we would also love if you would go out, if you love the show, go out to Apple Podcast or Spotify,
Audible.
Yeah, leave us a rating. If whatever app you're using gives you the ability to leave a review, we'd love to hear your feedback.
If you can't, message us on Instagram.
Totally.
I'll post that shit.
Hells yeah.
I'll do it all the damn time.
That's right. And we have info at bloodandbarrels.com, so you can always contact us there.
Yes, we love it when people let us know about updates. We have a lot of updates to do. We're just trying to get there.
We're getting caught up.
Yeah, we're trying to get there, but everybody who has sent us an update, we acknowledge that you have, and we are working on it.
Working on it. And like we said, we have a bonus episode coming out. So, but that being said, we love you guys as always, and we will catch you next time.
We hope you're enjoying your turkey coma.
Turkey coma.
We love you all.
Laters.
Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.